Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Are you ready to fucking pod, John, Tommy?
Yeah, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Good. What's new with you?
Which is also really like short, snippy.
Comedy?
Good. Comedy, this and that.
Doing comedy.
I feel like your voice is too high, but now I think it's
banging. Fine.
Banging.
Pots. Isn't that what you said when I saw you?
What did I say?
You were like, oh, man, been working, doing comedy, fucking chicks.
I did not say that.
You said something like that.
Don't you sell me up the river on a podcast.
Oh, sorry, is that not?
I don't think that'd be the best way to say it.
All right, I guess you said you were reading. And
I said I was just busy respecting all those around me.
But, I mean, when you said that, I was like, all right, yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds like, I mean, lots changed. Isn't that what you're always trying to do?
Well, I mean, I'm a single guy, but I'm not like, I'm not like this, like, disrespectful douchebag. So I don't want people thinking that's my approach.
I don't, maybe that's not what you said.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Yeah, right. No.
Let's delete this recording forever.
Should we?
Should we? It'd be funny if we just like.
When I was single, that's what I was doing.
Yeah,
yeah. Or try. I mean, that's what I was trying to do most of the time.
Were you successful with girls during your single career? Not that it's over.
Not that it's over. I mean, yeah, I was up and I was, you know, up and down. I think I was okay. You know, like I got better as I got older.
Yeah,
which is kind of, I'm glad I like didn't. You know, get married or really settle down young, really, because I got better. It's weird. And then the older I got, the less I wanted to settle down. You know, that's like a weird thing. You know what I mean? Like young, I was like, oh, I want to get married. Or, you know, you'd meet a hot chick and you're like, I'm going to marry her. And then now I'm older. I'd meet a hot chick and I was like, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm not, I don't know that I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, because like, you have that idealism when you're young, right? Like, I want to find a beautiful girl and ride off into the sunset in a convertible.
Yeah, you have a very, like, idealized, you know, vision of love and, you know, it's from movies and shit. And
yeah, like, what romance, what love is like this highly stylized, fictionalized, idealized thing.
Also, it's, like, stupid. The things you're, especially guys, but you're basing, you know, wanting to marry a girl on is just ridiculous. You know, like
superficial.
Yeah, like it'll be like I can't. You know, it'll be weird. You know, when I was younger, I'd be like, I can't believe that didn't work out. I mean, she had huge tits. What was the problem? Like, you know what I mean? But I'm like kind of kidding. And then like when you get into a relationship, it's like, oh shit! Like, sex isn't a big part of this. You know, I mean. Just like you're around them a lot without having sex with them.
Yeah, it's not just a constant fuck fest for years on end.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know if you even know any. I don't know. You've been in relationships, right? Like sort of long. Yeah, you were in long one, right?
Yeah, I've been in the longest was like close to 4 years.
Yeah, that's pretty long.
Yeah, but then after that one, it never went past like 10 months. How about you?
Yeah, I was in one that was like a few years. I was in another one that was like a year and a half. And then I was in a bunch of like short, you know, 8 month ones. Not a bunch, but then I got to a point where it was like just a bunch of like 2 to 3 monthers.
Dude, I was on Hannah Dickinson's pod and we were talking about exactly that. Like
2 to 3 monthers.
Yeah. Me and this other dude that she knows, like, it's something in about 3 months that just kind of like, okay, it just kind of fizzles or.
Yeah. And when I started noticing, I mean, I guess everything changed with the apps. That was like a game changer, definitely. And then.
Right. It tends to make the relationship shorter, right? Because you have so many options.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a good and bad thing. It's like, because it gives you the illusion of choices, you know, like you always kind of have like. Oh, there's someone better waiting on the app.
Even if there really might not be.
There really probably isn't. I don't really know what is waiting for you out there.
Well, I wonder that because my day job is recruiting. And like, you know, you could literally talk to hundreds of people. But it's like, why should I talk to 300 people and then decide? Or should I talk to 6 people and then decide? Because doesn't every person have their own positive and negative qualities that could you know, mesh with the people at a company in a myriad number of ways, depending on a myriad number of options. Like, is there really a best hire? Is there really a best romantic prospect? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, there isn't. That's the thing that people get caught up in is like, and I think that's what happens a lot is like, people be like, you know, I don't like this one thing. And I think that's what the problem with like dating apps is, because there's like the illusion of endless options. A lot of people will be like, you know, I didn't like his shirt, so fuck that. I'm not going to settle for, you know, there's a lot of that. You know, I'm not going to settle. You know, I'm better than that. I think that's a big thing that, but you know, once you've been, you know, I've been around a long time and you kind of are like, well, I mean, I think the main thing now is like, if you just can kind of stand to be around someone, you know,
that's as close as modern society gets to romance.
Well, I mean, I was telling my friend this the other day that like it changes, because when I was younger, I was like, oh God, I love her so much, you know, or, and you don't even know it, the person. And then now I'm like, it's more important, like liking someone now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean like, cause the like will be something sincere that will last through time, whereas the love is just a temporary infatuation.
Well, I think like love is like a thing that like, I don't know. I don't think it's like enough to, you have to also like, I think liking is more important, cause I don't really like anybody ever. No, I don't like a lot of people, and I've dated a lot of people that I didn't like. But so like, if you like being around someone, it's like, that's more important than, you know what I mean? Like, that seems like a more mature way of looking at a relationship.
Yeah. But like, I mean, hasn't like that always been them. The case?
I feel like, I don't think so. I no. think you get more into like, oh my God, she's so hot. And you know, she makes me feel so great about, I gotten so many of those, and I learned the hard way that's a bad route. The whole like, she makes me feel so good about myself. Like, having the way you feel be on like dependent on them, because I've had it a lot. There's so many things too that I learned, like so many types of personality types that are bad that you don't realize if you haven't really been, you know, I had to learn them in the heart. I guess a lot of people do, like, you know, like there's this thing called love bombing. Do you know what that is?
I've heard it, but I don't recall.
It's a thing where it's not just women, but I mean, I've experienced just with women is like, they come on really strong and they like, they just kind of dump a bunch of like attention and praise on you. Like, you're the greatest. You're so, oh my God, I never met anyone like you. And like, and so your ego gets inflated and you're like, yeah, I am the greatest. And then what happens is once they get bored of it and then they pull away and then you're kind of like, wait, what the fuck, what happened to that? And so all of a sudden, like, how you feel about yourself is completely dependent on them. Like, you're like, you felt great when they were like praising you, but then when they're not, you feel bad about yourself. That's like a thing. It's like narcissists do it.
It's like, yeah, it's like you're overwhelmed with affection and then it's removed, the rug is pulled out, and then it's like, yeah, twice, yeah, as painful as if it was like a more natural,
exactly,
progression.
Well, it's a lot, you know, it's like you should just feel good about yourself, like, regardless of that person being around.
Right.
But I had that a lot. I had that with a lot of, that was what was weird, too, is like, I started, when I got older, I started getting more attention, and like, the fact that women would actually do those things to me, like, that I meant that I was important enough to them to do that, was like, I wasn't used to that, you know, so, but then I finally was like, oh, when you meet a woman and they're too like, not aggressive, but they're doing like too much too fast up front, it's like a red flag, you know what I mean?
It doesn't mean that you're amazing, it means that maybe they're overcompensating, or what,
yeah,
what would motivate that behavior to the love,
I think,
bomb?
Like, it's like manipulative. It's like they want you to like them, they want attention, it's their way of getting people to like them. Once they have the attention, then they get bored, and then they're like, well, I got this once, and now let me get it from someone else. And I've had that a few times, and it was like, kind of like, I was like, when it first happened, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Because I had this woman do that, you know, and I totally, you know, fell for it like hook, line, and sinker. Like, you know, it's that thing, like, you know what, I am great, finally somebody sees it, you know. And then
is this a gender
specific thing?
They
start blowing your friends, and you're like, wait a minute.
What do you say? They start hooking up with your friends.
Then they start blowing your friends.
Oh my god!
Wait, what about me?
Is this a gender specific thing?
I think it can go both ways. I mean, I've only experienced it obviously from women, but right. I don't know. It's just now you can tell when someone's like, when it's too much. But I definitely had it a few times, and I finally learned, like, not to, that it's a red flag. It's not good. It always goes really bad. You know what I mean? And I've also had the other way where I've dated women who, like, if you're not giving them enough attention, then they kind of, like, it's like their, you know, their self-worth is totally based on how the attention you're giving them. And it's like, I mean, you know, if you're in a relationship, like, you can't always, like, it's not going to stay the way it was at the beginning. So it's kind of like, I think that's what happened. That's what I think love bombers are. They're like, well, the passion's gone. I got to go find someone else, you know? Like,
right.
But it's like, well, I mean, what do you think that is going to happen with that guy? Like, that guy's a jerk too. Like, no, but you know what I mean? Like, that guy, there's always going to be a problem with anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you start, like, nitpicking, like, well, I don't like that they did that. It's like, well, I mean, all right, well. That's why I finally got to the point with, you know, to go back to your thing with dating. I got less, like, even when I met, like, a hot chick, if they blew me off, I was like, all right, bye. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to.
You're going to wrap up your self-worth in that.
Right. I mean, there were times I was like, oh, that's a bummer. She was hot. But I wasn't like, I never chased them ever again. Like, I had that recently. I think I got ghosted, like, once. And I mean ghosted where, like, I was dating her for maybe, like, 5 or 6 weeks. That's, like, a decent amount of time to be, like, banging someone.
Yeah.
And then I texted her and she just never texted me again. And in the past, I would have been, like, texted again or be like, hey, what's going on? But I just was, like, never texted ever again. Never.
That's healthy of you. You grew.
Well, I mean, it was also like, well, because it's like, well, what the fuck? Why would I want to keep contacting this bitch?
That was Tom McCaffrey that said that. Danny Palmer is against that kind
of. No, but
of
I mean,
language.
Anyone. It's a guy. I mean, like, it's just like, you know, the whole, like, I mean, I get it. People treat you shitty and you keep contacting them, but it's like, why? Like, why do you want to hang out with them? They're just. Meaning, like, I didn't, my whole worth wasn't like, oh my God, she didn't get back to me. I think I was bummed out, but. And it was so funny, like, I didn't text her ever again, then like a week and a half later she started liking things on Instagram. That's like enough. It's funny, these little things they do. And then I like fucking blocked her on Instagram. I was like, we're not doing this shit. Because that's like a ploy they do, where not just men too, do it to women too, where it's like they're gonna kind of blow you off, but then instead of reaching out again, they kind of like do these little hints so that you're supposed to that's their way of like, you're supposed to contact them again. It's like, I'm not. That's not how. That's another. I had a joke about this once. Where like, you ever have someone do really something really really shitty to you, and then they try to make amends by like liking something on social media. You're like,
yeah. Oh, now it's cool.
Oh, I'm cool that you fucked my dad. You know, now that right. You liked my tweet, it's totally cool that you wrecked
Bygones.
My car. No, do you know what I mean? I had a girl do that once. You did all these shitty things, and it's like she liked a tweet. I'm like, so what? This is your big. This is you reaching out to fix things?
Right. Yeah, I had that. I dated a girl and then she wouldn't get back to me. But then I would always see her, like, my Instagram stories. She would always be right at the top, or in the top three. And I feel like Instagram knows, man. Instagram knows who you like and who likes you.
If they're at the top?
I think so. I feel like every time I go on Instagram lately, it's like the top two or three like girls that I'm spending time with, not even dating, but just not usually like some sort of romantic interest. They're like 1, 2, 3 in the top in the start of my stories. I'm like, how the fuck does Instagram know that? But I think they do know that.
Yeah,
I think they know who you like.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, there's like that. There's certain people on the top of that.
And it's always like my Instagram. Always when I open it, it always starts with like, you know, a pretty girl in a bikini or in a nice dress or something. It's never like, you know, oh, here's a sheep at a meadow. It's like, oh, here's a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
We know what you're looking for. You know, I feel like that's been almost universally true.
But also, yeah, that's another weird thing, because like I get notifications where it's like, so-and-so just added to their story. but it's only with like three different people. And I'm like, why is it that only them I'm hearing about their story?
They want you
or so and so just did a live video. But well, is it because those are the people? Or Facebook, it's the same thing. Like, so and so just, you know, posted a photo, but it has nothing to do with me. But I'm like, well, why? It's only with like three people. So I'm like, they must be. And I think it is people that are like looking. One of them is a girl, a chick I dated years ago, who I think every now and then will like something on social media, who I think is like looking at my social media.
Yeah, well, did you see that documentary, The Social Dilemma?
Yeah.
Didn't they talk about that? Where like, if someone you like is within a few block radius, they might put their story in the top of yours because, hey, they're close and you like them.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm not
saying.
But
it's always like the same, this one girl.
Do you like that girl?
I dated her like 6 years ago. I mean, I don't
know. Do you like her now? Do you look at her pictures?
I mean, no,
I
don't. No.
No.
Sometimes when it says she posted a picture, I'll be like, oh, let me see if she looks hot. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah. But I mean, I'm
they're
not
tracking that shit that you're interested in how she looks, you know?
Yeah, but I don't do it a lot. It's only like when she was hot, but she was just like, this is another thing, like older, like she was hot, but she was like, you know, annoying.
the dreaded combo.
She did that thing, too, where like we weren't dating that long and we had never like discussed what was going on. And then she like called me one day and like kind of like broke up with me. And it's kind of that thing of like, you're breaking up with me? I didn't even know we were really dating officially. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've had that. I feel like that's a move people do when they're kind of like not sure what the relationship is. And maybe they're into you, but they don't feel like you're giving them much. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to break up with him.
Yeah.
Like she was like, yeah, I don't think it's working. I was like, all right. I mean, I didn't say this, but I wanted to be like, I don't even think I'm kind of dating. I've been seeing like other people too.
Yeah. You're not breaking my heart. You're
I didn't
just
think
kind of
we were even dating. But all right. So anyway, yeah.
Do you let them win that emotional battle? Would you wouldn't want to be like obnoxious, quote unquote, right? And be like, oh, well.
No, I just
I don't like you either.
No, I was just like, oh, yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, just I guess, you know, it's not really going anywhere. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. But I wasn't like, no, we're not dating, you bitch.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more mature. You got to like maintain a sense of dignity with this stuff, you know?
And the other thing is like I found out is like, you know, the whole like if they disappear on you and like I think a lot of guys get caught up in that and like will contact them after that. It's like if you just let them go, like a lot of times they come back.
Yeah.
Like it takes a while sometimes, like years sometimes. But if you end it, if you just aren't needy and if they blow you off and you have no reaction, like when they think of you again, they're going to be like, oh, wait, that guy was totally normal when like, because most other guys are crazy when you do that to them. So if you act weird, that kind of gives them confirmation of like, oh my God, they're so crap. So glad I like, you know, blew them off because they're crazy.
Yeah, that was the right decision as validated by how they acted afterwards.
Right. And then if you don't do it, you're one of the only guys that doesn't do that. And they remember that. And then when they come back, if you're just like, oh, hey, what's up? You're not like, well, what happened to you? You're just like, you kind of are just like, oh, hey, what's up? I didn't even notice.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I've definitely experienced that. I feel like
I'm sure you.
As soon as I get a hint that a girl is not into me, I try to stop trying altogether. And then, I mean, not all the time, but occasionally, they'll like, you know, like put a ha ha next to some old quote.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll put a heart next to something you said a week and a half ago. It's like, oh, so you were thinking about me?
Yeah, that's what that one girl did on Instagram. It was like a week and a half after she just never got back to me, and like. And I think I was kind of like part of it. I was like, you know, I blocked her on Instagram because I was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with, like, we're not going to have you like my posts for the next year. You know what I mean? Like, just if you want to, you know, I think my attitude was like, if you want to like contact me, just text me. Don't fucking like my Instagram shit.
Yeah. Do this subtle.
Yeah. It was so fucking like. Yeah. I mean, it's like. I didn't get reactive where I was like, you bitch, but I was like, I don't want to hear from this chick on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it was really annoying because it was like the first date. She was like, are you on Instagram? Can I follow you? And I'm like, all right. I mean, we've gone out. This is our first date. Like, now we're going to be on Instagram following each other? Like, then what? You're going to be liking my posts forever?
I know. That's right. It's like, can we see how this goes first? Before
right,
we decide?
Right. It's just kind of like, I don't want to see pictures of you for the rest of my life.
Dude, you should make that a joke. That's hilarious. That is true, because it seems like when you first meet a girl, you know, it's more cool and intimate to get her phone number than her Instagram. But in the long run, the Instagram is more intimate than the phone number, because the phone number just disappears into your fucking computer of your phone. The Instagram is just a bunch of pictures. Here's what I'm up to now.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm fucking 90 minutes, now. I've been doing this.
Yeah. Right. It was like I dated her for like a month. It's like now I'm going to fucking see her. And I guarantee if I hadn't done that, she just every now and then would every like 3 months when she got bored or the guy she was bored of who she was fucking. Like, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like someone I just barely, if I'm just dating, you know, the first or second time I'm out with them, they're like, let me follow you on this. I'm like, no, I don't. Why? Like, I don't know. I haven't even slept with you. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah, because then what if they like break your heart?
Right, right.
Or do something hurtful to you. You know, then you know, yeah. Well, so anyway, you know, but yeah. The counter argument would be that if they break your heart or do something hurtful to you, that you could just delete them on your social media at that time. But in the meantime, why not, you know, have another connection to them?
Yeah, yeah. So that's basically what happened. But like I guess in that situation, it was like I saw how I might have been like, you know, 7 years before that, where I would have been like, I don't know, more reactive about it. But I just don't really take it as personally anymore. I'm not really. And I think that's a big thing. Young. I don't know. I've found that so many times I'll be out with women and they'll be like, yeah, I went out with this guy and like I wasn't into him. And then look at all these texts he keeps sending me, you know. And I'm like, oh. And then I've dated women where they're like, you don't text me. You're not good at texting. You don't text me enough. And I'm like, what do you want me to fucking say? Like, I asked you if you wanted to hang out. Like, you don't text it. And I think what it is that, and then those are the ones who are like, look at this guy. He won't leave me alone. I'm like, so what is it?
I don't want to be that guy.
You
know,
do you want me to be? I think what it is they feel more comfortable when they can, like, that they have you. Like, because that guy they know is into them. But the guy barely texts. They're like, well, I don't know. Is he into me? And they don't really. I think they're not used to it if they're hot, you know?
Right. Wouldn't that make that person more attractive to them if they're like what's the term? Like, unobtainable or, like, yeah, elusive. You want what you can't have.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Like, it was something that was said to me over and over by women. Unavailable.
Yeah.
That was a big thing I heard over and over young.
That's how you acted towards them?
Yeah, you're so unavailable.
And
it would be when I was like next to them in bed. I'm like, I'm just like right here.
I'm literally available.
Yeah. I don't have pants. But I think that's what it is they kind of get caught up in. I think that they are into it, but they don't like that. It takes them off. I mean, I'm totally speculating. But I mean, I'm just saying from this experience, those are the ones that always came back. You know,
right?
As opposed to the other ones years ago, were like would never, and a lot of times they don't come. I mean, not. I feel like they usually will come back though at some point if you've left it totally open. You know,
yeah. As long as you're not like a dick bag or,
yeah, yeah.
You got to like thread the needle, right? You don't want to be too overly in their grill and effusive and smothering, but you also don't want to be so aloof and distant that they feel like, what's the point?
Yeah.
There's like this, there's got to be some sort of middle ground, but it's hard. And it varies by person.
It does vary a lot.
Because some people like more intimacy, like less. Like, how do you like calibrate that?
Yeah.
Life is so complicated, you know? There's like,
I know, especially, and like now with dating, you know, with, you know, apps, it's just so much harder. It's just, there's so many more factors. I think the only thing that is helpful is most guys are clueless idiots when it comes to women.
Yeah.
So that's what the reason they usually come back is because what happens is they have that thought of like, oh, you know what? There's someone better out there. And then they date, they go out there and there's nothing. It's worse out there.
So then you're just the fallback option.
Well, I think it's, no, I don't even think it's that. I think it's like, most guys are such morons that they fuck it up, and then that's when they come back to you because they fucked it up so bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the whole waiting thing is you're just waiting until the next guy really fucks up. I think that's what it is, which they will probably, you know.
Yeah, and then you can say, hey, I'm like 20% better than that guy.
Well, I mean, but you look better because that guy probably acted weird or needy. And then when they cut, they're like, that one guy was totally normal, you know.
Yeah, Tom Seymour chill.
And then when you come back and you're like, oh, hey, what's up? What's going on? Yeah. And then they're like, wow, he really is chill. He didn't even seem to care that he didn't miss a step with me. Because that's another thing, too. I think people get like when they come back, they're like, well, what happened? Why did you do that? You know, why didn't you get back to me? But I think you just need to be like, oh, I don't really give a shit. And I also feel like those kind of women that disappear and come back, you just have to be like, that's not a relationship, chick. That's just I'll bang her whenever she comes back, and then she'll leave again, and date someone, and then he'll fuck it up and then come back.
You're saying she'll disappear in the early going?
Well, I've had that a few times where like there'd be these women that I might hook up with, and then they disappear, but then they'd come back, and then like for like a month, and then they'd disappear again. So I was like, oh, this isn't like a girlfriend thing. This is like she'll come around every now and then, and we'll sleep together, and then she'll go date someone. But
do you ever talk to her about that? Like why that's happening?
To a woman who does that?
Yeah, I guess not really.
I had that a few times, and I was always like, I had it once with a girl, and I was into her at first, and then she did that, and then I was into her the second time, but then she disappeared again, and then I was like, oh, this is what it's going to be. And I was like, fine with it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, I'm not going to marry you. I'm just going to sleep with you every now and then.
I just want to know like why
I don't
she
really
did
know
it the
what
first
I'm doing.
Time.
What?
Yeah, I just want to know why she did it the first time.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's not really my business.
I guess, yeah. I guess. What's that phrase about like, I don't care what other people think about me because it's not my business?
Yeah. What other people think of me isn't my business?
Yeah, it's none of my business.
I don't know. You never know. Like maybe they're, you know, maybe they're just out of a relationship. Maybe they're dating a guy. It's not going well. I mean, in any case, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone like that. Cause like they're not just doing it to you. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how that's like what their MO is, you know?
Oh, okay. That's true.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't take it as personal. I used to take it like, well, they don't like me because that guy's better, but it's like, I don't really think that's, how do you know if that guy's better? Like, I don't know, you know.
It's weird that you can't really know other people's true intentions or their lives, their backstories for the most part, but then you have to like take a guess or make your best and most educated guess based on how they've interacted with you, but then how accurate is that? You know?
Have you had that where they kind of like where they'll kind of blow you off, like you'll be with them and then they blow you off and then do you like kind of try to pin them down.
I've had it happen where like this one girl recently, like we had this like, you know, kind of romantic little day out, and then she got like mad at me the next day, and I was like, well I just barely met you, but
this then, is like your first time out with her.
Yeah, but then like a few weeks later she started messaging me again. I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess she thought I was being like, I don't know, I don't, well, like we went out and like drank and like kissed at this bar, and then she's like, well, actually, I shouldn't tell the story.
Too late. I think you just... Why? Is it someone that is going to listen?
It's just like personal stuff with relationships that I probably shouldn't talk about on a podcast, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, they might have like this sense of like, oh yeah, I'm really into it, really into it. And then they like pull back and then you're like, well, what the fuck was that? And then, yeah, then they come back in a few weeks. It's like, I feel like that's a fairly common thing that happens in dating, right?
I think so. And I think now especially... Because they have a lot of dates lined up. I don't know. I had it in... but I will say the one thing that is the one good change was that what started to happen was... Because younger, I would maybe go out with a woman, then she'd blow me off, you know? Like, just maybe after, like, one or two times. But and we wouldn't really like hook up or anything. But then what started to happen is they would like sleep with me and then blow me off. So it was like, oh, okay, this is progress. Because like it was like, I mean, a lot of times it was great because they would, you know, sleep with me and then like I wouldn't hear from them. And I was like, wow, cool. So that was a good thing. Like it was kind of like then they were sleeping with me as I got older and then would kind of disappear.
Yeah.
Which not all of them, but you know what I mean? Like that did happen a lot.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
It's better, quote unquote, but it's still not great because it still hurts your feelings that they left, right?
I mean, I think it doesn't hurt my feelings as much if it's like you hook up with them like once or twice. But like that, like I said, that one time is the only time where I was like, oh man, that was kind of a long time for you to just kind of like disappear. That was the only time that really ever happened.
And you did say that to her about that's a long time that you disappeared, or you don't say that?
No, I didn't.
You're just thinking.
What happened is it ended where everything, you know, like usually what it was is like we would text back and forth during the week and then we'd like make plans for the weekend. And then the last, I was like, oh, hey, you know, let me know if, you know, when you're around this weekend. Then she just never got back to me. And I just never followed up again. I was never like, what's going on? You didn't get back, you know. And then that was the one who started liking my Instagram stuff.
Did you not like her? Why didn't you like reengage?
She blew me off.
But so what?
I thought, haven't you been listening the last 30 minutes?
But I'm just saying, but like, even though she blew you off, if she came back, maybe she made a mistake in blowing you off and she's giving you another chance, or, you know, she's giving your relationship another chance.
Well, if she wanted to do that, she had my phone number. She could have texted me.
Right.
That's like a move that they do. It's like a specific move. I think it's called...
But girls want you to do the work. Even if they broke it off in the first place, they still want to.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a breakup. It was like I just
most of the time.
I think that's bullshit.
You think that's bullshit?
I think if they're into, you know, like if they're into you, they're gonna come back. And I think it's a test. I think it's a thing to see, like, oh, is this guy still here whenever I want him?
Oh, that's true.
I think it's called, what's it called? Hovering or something, or. There's a term for it where like they kind of like blow you off, but then they like do the smallest little gesture to get you to like contact them. You know what I mean? But it's like, and it's really funny. It's usually it's like I was talking about before, love bite. It's usually the super aggressive ones at the beginning are the ones that are like blow you off, you know, where you're like, wait a minute, weren't you like texting me like that you wanted to blow me, you know?
Right. And now it's not.
Now you won't like return my text. Like, oh, that's weird.
Do you think that I totally agree with what you're saying?
I just feel like I think the rule I have is just never, never double tag. If they blow you off, if you text and they don't text you back, that to me, that's just enough to like, and they, you know, you start questioning, they got the text. They always got the text.
Right.
If anyone's wondering.
Oh, they
always
saw
get it.
Yeah. Well, do you think that part of this is like you wanting to protect your sense of identity and your pride in
totally
not being like degraded, not degraded, but like, yeah, slightly degraded, and that, oh, well, I can blow you off. And then if I want you back, I just get you back immediately.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not falling for that bullshit.
Well,
maybe she just is doing it because she wants to test to see how much you really like her. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I don't
for a
really
second.
Know. I mean, but that's fucking stupid. I don't know. Like, what?
If that's the case, and that's not a girl you want to be with.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, go fucking. It's just that's dumb. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's why they're doing it. I really don't. Yeah. I don't believe. I think someone who's doing that isn't that into you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So like, why not figure that out earlier rather than later and just cut it off altogether?
You mean like with the girl?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, when I look back on it.
I'll leave the channels open. Why not? Who cares?
Well, when looking back on it now, it was great. Because like I banged this hot chick for like 6 weeks and then I never heard from her again. So I don't know what the problem is. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It was great. I think at the time I was a little confused, but, and honestly, I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm not looking for that now, but like when it happened, I was like, because she did come back. I actually was really surprised she didn't text me during the pandemic, because I was like positive she was going to come back. But I bet you in like a year I'll be hearing from that. I almost like guarantee it.
And then you're going to blow her off when she does reach back out.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in a relationship right now.
Oh, right,
so,
right. But even if you weren't, you would still.
I don't know. I mean, I think I don't really. I mean, now I don't care. I'm not like mad. That's what I mean by the whole like not being like, if she had messaged me. I mean, this was like 2 years ago. If she had messaged me a year later, I probably would have been like, yeah, hey, come over. And then I would have looked at it as just like a sex thing. I wouldn't have looked at it as like, which is kind of annoying too, because I'm like, are you looking? Do you think I was like? Like this, I'm fine with this just being a sex thing, you know?
Yeah.
Don't act like I'm like trying to marry you or something. You know what I mean?
Right. So. Well, I think you and I have slightly different approaches, because I feel
What's
like
your approach? I'm interested.
I feel like even if I would sacrifice the hit to my pride, because I often don't get into that long of relationships anyways. So if I date you for a few months and you blow me off and you come back in 6 months, sure, let's grab a drink. Why not? What do
right,
I do with
right.
this? I don't
like
take it as
too.
A personal
yeah.
slight.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
I'm into that too, yeah.
But you said that if you can sense that they're just trying to get you back, that you're not falling for it. You don't want to be a sucker, a rube.
I mean, I'm not too good, but if it was what happened is it was like a week later after she blew me off and she didn't text me. She just like liked something. That's like a nothing
oh, yeah,
gesture.
That, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not any kind of, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, like
that's
a serious gesture. If it was a serious
you
gesture, then
you didn't text me back. Like, just text me back if you want to hang out with me. Like,
but I feel like you write them off like pretty soon, right? Like almost right away. Like, if they did something like that, you wouldn't be like, okay, I'll take you back if you text me. Like, even if they texted you, would you still be excited about it? You'd be like, oh, this girl, really? Now you want me back? You know what I mean? Am I wrong?
I think I don't love it, but I've it's happened like. Trying to think of it's definitely happened a lot. And again, if I had like been like reactive, I never would have heard from them again. You know what I mean? And then I remember one of them I actually like had gone out with like once. I hadn't slept with them, but, you know, we kind of like hooked up and then she seemed into it and she texted me a little bit and then she just stopped responding. And then she came back like 3 months later and then we hung out and she was like, I think I started banging her. And then at one point she was like, you know, like, why didn't you ever text me again? And I was like, I did. You never responded. And she was like, yeah, but like, that means you're supposed to like keep texting
again,
me.
The double text, which you don't like.
She's like, that's what you're supposed to do. And then I didn't say this, but I wanted to be like, really? I'm fucking you. So something I did worked. So, but you know
run.
What I mean? It's like, oh, you're right. I blew it. It's like, but you don't understand. Like, you're having sex with me, and so the way I did it was the way to do it. I know you wanted me to do it that way, but you know what I mean? You don't understand the whole reason this is happening now is because of what I did.
Yeah, and if you did it the way that she wanted,
right, she
you
wouldn't
to,
have banged me.
Would she actually wanted that?
I don't think so. I think it's like, I don't think it. I mean, clearly, I never left her mind in some aspect, you know. I just thought that was so funny. Like, after sleeping with her, she's like, well, you were supposed to do that. I'm like, really? Well, I feel like my way was the good way.
Yeah, the strategy seems to have paid off, as indicated by our location in my
right. bed. Right. My pants are off in your bed, so. You're right. I blew it.
But do you feel like you have me and Hannah were talking about, like, the styles of attachment. There's, like, anxious, avoidant, and secure. Do you think that you have one of those styles more than the other?
Yeah, I've read stuff about that. Yeah, I don't.
I think you're more avoidant.
I'm very. That's exactly what I'm avoiding.
Yeah, you're like, if you sniff trouble in the water, that's what I'm getting at here.
Yeah,
it's like if you sniff trouble in the water, you're like, nah, fuck this.
I wasn't, though, before. But the thing is, like, you're, I mean, I definitely have an avoidant attachment style. And I've attracted anxious attachment styles a lot. Because that's a thing, right? Avoidance attract, like, anxious. What are they, anxious?
Anxious, avoidant, and secure.
Yeah, because I think anxious is, like, that's the one where they're very, like, needy and, like, they're always dependent on how you're feeling about them, right?
Which would be, so anxious and avoidant together would be a disaster, right?
But I think that happens a lot because I think their anxious attachment styles, I think, are attracted to avoidant because it's like they need to get people. I've dated people that like were very like they need everyone to like them. You know what I mean? And their whole life, like it's, and I think it's almost like a survival skill they learned where it's like they have to get people. And so if you're someone who like looks harder to get them to like them, then their attention is on you because they need everyone to like them and you're the hardest one in the room to get to like them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like their mission to overcome that resistance.
Yeah, like, because, I mean, and that's like a nightmare of a person to date, someone who needs everyone to like them because, you know, it feels good to you, but you're not the only one in the world. They're doing it to everyone. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Yeah, and then if you fall off your game a little bit and they feel like you're not giving them enough, which you never will be able to do, they're going to get it somewhere else because it is like a survival. I think it's so deeply embedded with them. It's almost like unconscious. Like they have to get that validation from people, you know?
And they will, whether or not it's from you.
They're going to get it.
Doesn't matter as much as whether or not it happens. Yeah.
So, and if someone is, their whole existence is about people liking them, they're going to meet guys who like are trying to fuck them and they're going to feel bad about not fucking because they feel like the guy won't like them. So guess what they're gonna do?
Fuck the guy.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. Well, is secure the best attachment style to have, or does secure have its drawbacks too?
I don't
know literally nothing
like
about
it.
This except for the terms.
I don't know. I think secure is, I mean, it sounds like,
it
the,
sounds
best
like
one.
The best one, but I would imagine that each, if there's only three styles, I'd imagine that each has
what
drawback.
What is yours?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
You're probably avoidant too.
I probably am avoidant.
Well, I mean, you're like single and you're like older.
I'm like 45 and single. I'm definitely avoidant. Well, I don't know, but I don't know if I like the term avoidant. Like, I don't avoid being intimate with people. I just feel like,
well, what happens when you date people now? Are they like, hey, what's going on? You're like, I don't want to date you.
Usually, we have a little run of fun. And then it just kind of fizzles for one reason or another. Like, either it's really intense and it's too passionate and then we just realize we're not compatible, or it's just not as exciting for me or for her, and then it just kind of, like, fades, you know? But it usually ends, in, like, mutually positive and beneficial. Like, I'm not, like, I don't have a bunch of, like, arch enemies out there in the dating scene. Like, I'm pretty much friends with most, if not all, the girls that I've dated. You know, but I mean, it's like also like our lifestyles are like, it's probably also because I don't put a lot of effort into it as I could, because I have other things to do. I have a demanding job. I do stand up. I do this podcast. I have a lot of other external stimuli and attention takers in my life. So I don't have, I'm not committing like 4 or 5 nights a week to like really develop a close relationship with a significant other because I'm out doing shit.
Yeah, no,
I'm not saying
I
that's
get
good.
It, totally, yeah.
I'm just saying that that's kind of the way my life is at the moment. I'm not saying that I'm cool because of that. I'm saying like that's just the way.
Well, now I look back at like I'm so glad. I'm not that I even had many opportunities really young to get married, but like I'm really glad I didn't like settle down like years ago. Just because I mean. The women that I might have married that I was like maybe on that trajectory, we there's no way we would have stayed married.
Why is that?
Just, I mean, well, we broke up before we got married. So like how would it have worked if we were married?
Right.
And then it would have been a million times worse because you fucking, there's like a contract that you have to like break with the lawyer, you know? So like I'm so, because I mean, a couple of women like, you know, we're bringing up marriage. And I was like, oh, I don't know, right? And then Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think I would have, it would have gone well. Because I know people got married young and maybe even want to get married. And then, you know, they got divorced and their lives were fucking miserable.
Yeah. I always feel like I had a girl that she wanted to get married. I wanted to marry her too, but I think she wanted it more than I did in her like 20s. And it just felt to me like if you do that, then your vista is narrowing because then you're just going to be with this person, focus on her and her family and the life that you're building together. Versus if you're out pursuing something bigger, then your vista is widening. And I know that sounds like cocky and arrogant, but that's not what I mean. I'm just saying like that's how I saw it at that time. But I think now that I'm older, I probably have a more mature perspective in that you can widen your vistas of your
life.
What
is vista? I'm sorry, I know.
Oh, like it's a- like the horizon, the landscape,
okay, right,
like the,
yeah,
the scope of what you can see and try,
yeah,
to get,
yeah,
you know. But you, but now that I'm thinking it through, you can have someone that you're close with that you're building an intimate life with and continue to learn and grow and expand your vista. It's not like a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
You're with somebody and then you just stop learning and growing. It's not true. But at that time in my life, I felt like this is going to be, and maybe it would have been, maybe it would be, it would have been more limiting. Because I'd have been like, okay, well, let's just go to my parents' house and this little,
yeah,
cute little lake town on the weekends. And I'm like, no, I want to stay in Atlanta and do fun shit in Atlanta.
Right.
You know?
No, I know. Now that I'm older, even I'm like, wait, what the? What is this? Like, I don't want to settle down. I was always like that from like even young. I was telling somebody the other day, the first girl I ever kissed, I was like 11 or 12 at camp, and like it was that thing where like, you know, you, there's like a dance, and you're all kind of walking to the other side of the camp, you know, and I guess all the guys who are like with a girl are like gonna like make out with them, and then, but then there's other dudes who are like not in that, who are just off doing their own thing. And I remember like I was in the group that where I was with a girl, and then like I saw some other dudes I knew who were just like going to go do something in the woods, like fuck around, you know, I don't know,
like smoke weed and look at porno
or
magazines.
Just I don't know, like, you know, do go in the woods and maybe, you know, play with matches. And I remember being like, man, I want to do that instead. I don't want to be with this fucking chick.
But, making out at camp.
But you know what I mean? It was like, I guess I'm supposed to be into this, but like, you know, and I was like 11 or 12, you know, and it just felt too like, I want to be like a kid doing like weird things, you know, like kid things.
Yeah.
And I always kind of had that with women a lot where I was like, oh, okay, but I want to like go do things like, that doesn't have to. And then I think that's why they'd get mad at me.
Right, right.
Because, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? It's like, well, I want to like hang out with my friends and play with matches.
Yeah, like this.
I want to go tell jokes about my dick and get drunk.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, it's weird that I remember that so specifically young, because it was like definitely a thing that I remember, like, oh, those guys look like they're having fun, you know?
It's probably your true self giving you an indication of what it is that you actually like.
Yeah, and it made sense then, because it was like I didn't want to be one of these guys who was like I never wanted to be one of those guys who like in junior high or high school had like a girlfriend that they're always like making out with and like hanging, you know what I mean? Like even then I was like, hey, yeah, all right, I mean, I'm into chicks, but you know, that would be you know what I mean? It always looked kind of embarrassing to me when like you'd see, because isn't like a high school, junior high thing, like a guy and a girl are maybe dating and they're always making out in front of everyone,
yeah,
outside. And you're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
And I know that they're doing it because the guy's like, oh, I'm so cool. But it never really looked appealing to me. I remember I dated this hot chick in junior high, like, not to like, she was really hot. And we were like walking, like one of the first weeks that we were like, date, I don't know what the who even knows,
you
know,
call that
ninth
junior
grade,
high,
yeah, whatever the fuck it is. And she like grabbed my hand to hold my hand outside school, and I like jerked my hand away, and she was like, why did you do that? And I was like, oh, I cut my hand, it hurts.
What a mature excuse.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, but you know what I mean, even that, I mean, this chick was like hot, you know what I mean? I was like, no, we're not doing this.
You didn't want to be like, wouldn't that be
it's just like embarrassing.
Symbol?
It would be. And it was, but I think I liked the idea of people knowing about it, but I didn't want to like walk around, you know,
like flaunting it.
Just look gay. It seemed gay, oddly gay to me.
Yeah. A woman showing affection.
To be holding this hot chick's hand.
Right. Well, because as a teen, you're often pressured into feeling to displaying overt displays of masculinity, not of sensitivity and intimacy.
Hey, do you like queer comedians? Do you like learning more about what it takes to take your life story and turn it into a comedy act and then go up on stage and talk about it in front of hundreds of people? Well, that is what my podcast is all about. My name is Ben Hawes, and I am a queer millennial comedian living in New York City, and I'm on a journey of living my life in bold. So in my podcast, I interview other queer comedians about how they're living their lives more boldly and more authentically. The podcast is called Life in Bold with Ben Hawes. That's me, and you have to go check it out. It'll make you giggle, but we also do get deep. It's queer, it's funny, it's bold. Listen to Life in Bold wherever you get your shows.
Right. Yeah, and I think, like I said, I was just, there was something about, like, even then, the young, I was always kind of like, it's weird, like, I wanted attention, but do you have that? Like, I wanted attention, but I also didn't want attention. Like, I'm oddly really private, but I also really want attention. It kind of, like it's weird, you know, because...
That kind of makes sense for your stand-up style, because you are obviously getting attention in a room full of people with a microphone and light, but you also don't really like to interact with the crowd that much because I think you want to have your own kind of private moment up there to some extent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes...
I mean, it sounds like,
hey,
weird
this
thing
isn't
to
about
say.
You.
What?
I'm like, hey, this isn't about you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's just your like natural style of comedy, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can interact with them, but I'd rather not, you know?
Yeah. Well, a lot of comics are like that.
Yeah,
they don't really interact with the crowd.
Probably
much.
The ones
they will
that
if they have
like.
To, but they don't want to.
Yeah, like the comedians I like are probably the ones that just their whole thing is their material. It's not like, hey, look at this guy. What are you from? Jersey? Oh, yeah, nice face. Oh, look at this dick. You know, it's just like, what?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But you kind of also need to know how to do that, right? Like, you need to be able to do it, but I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I've been like emceeing a lot of shows lately, and I just like I always struggle with my head with, because I like talking to the crowd. It's fun for me, and I can usually get some decent laughs off it. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, if I have 8 minutes up here or 10 minutes up here, I don't want to burn through 6 minutes talking to the crowd, because this moment will disappear and be gone into the ether forever. If I work on jokes for 8 out of the 10 minutes, then I can make progress towards those jokes and use them again and again and again and again and again. Thus, I try to like cut off the crowd work pretty soon into a set, into an MC set, because I want to work on my jokes.
I have the same thing. It's like if you do crowd work and you have a great set, it's like, well, who gives a shit? I'm never going to like be in that crowd again, you know, like talking about that guy's bag. You know, it's like, I mean, I understand where it can be helpful, it can be beneficial, because you're able to like do it in the moment and you kind of get more confidence at it. And as a comedian, you do need to know how to do that. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I'm trying to compare it to something. It's like if you're some profession and there's something that you should know how to do, but you don't really do a lot. It's maybe not your specialty, but you have to like have that.
Like a base level of competency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like some singers, some bands, like the Fish and like the Strokes, I've seen them both a couple times.
Their crowd work's good.
They don't say anything.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, they just play music. They don't talk.
They don't in between songs?
Fish almost never talks the whole concert. And the Strokes don't really either. They just kind of just go.
You saw them live?
Yeah.
Once or twice. Interesting. And what, some bands really do talk in between a lot?
Yeah. Some bands don't say shit. And some bands talk a lot. Like,
yeah, and those
Dave
are like
Matthews talks a lot.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. He has a lot to say. Other bands, I'm here playing music, and then we got the stage.
Yeah, I mean, the Strokes, that's good, because they're probably just like, look,
we're the Strokes.
We're good.
Yeah.
But also, like, they seem like they wouldn't want it. Like, they're too cool for school a little bit.
Right.
Dave Matthews. I mean, Dave Matthews, I guess, is okay. But I mean, I don't really love him, but...
Maybe I'm wrong about the Strokes doing that. No, I think I'm right, though.
They seem like a band that would do that. And Fish, too. I don't really know Fish, but... I know them, but I don't really know them.
They'll talk occasionally, but you know, their thing is like, this is our music and we're going to play it. And that's why people are here. So we're not going to waste your time with some chit chat. But other bands, that they're speaking as part of their personality, part of their band's personality. You know?
Yeah. Some are, yeah, there's some that definitely, I'm trying to think who I saw.
Like, I'm sure Bruce Springsteen talks a lot.
Probably. I saw Prince. I don't remember if he did it a lot. There are a lot that don't. Which
just
is fine.
Right, yeah, it is fine, but it's also a little bit annoying. I'm like, dude, we're all here. Like, obviously, you can see that there are thousands of people that have assembled to see you perform. Do you not want to acknowledge us and be like, hey, what's up, you guys? Thanks for coming out.
Right, right.
You don't want to say
anything?
You can
at least say that. Thanks for coming out, not just like,
just,
what is this? Yeah, it's like stand up. You wouldn't just go up and do, even though, you, I mean, some people do that, but I think you should, there should be a medium of like, hey, what's up? Yeah, like acknowledging that they're there.
Yeah, you should be able to do it, but not like,
I mean, comedy's so much fucking harder. Because music, you have like the luxury of just disappearing into the song. You're playing something that no one can talk over.
You know, I was thinking, I was thinking about this, like the people say that comics get jealous of musicians because musicians can just play songs that they know everybody's going to love, whereas comics can do a new joke and it might bomb. But then I heard a band get interviewed recently and they said then there's the opposite of that, where the audience doesn't want to hear your new stuff. They only want to hear your hits. And it was Jacob Dylan. He's like, they only want to hear your hits. And like every band goes through that where nobody gives a fuck about your new stuff. They just want you to play the old stuff. And it just kind of sucks.
And comics, it's like they don't want to hear your old stuff. They're like, I heard that.
I know
once.
That joke.
Yeah, they're like, that's it. One time it's over. No new stuff. Yeah, that's true. Or like, they did new stuff and it wasn't good. It's like, well, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, comedy's really hard. The more I do it, the more I'm like, oh, this is like hard. Like, I feel like when I started, I was like, oh, this isn't hard. Now I'm like, oh, this is really hard.
It's so difficult, dude. It's
and
so
it's
difficult.
Weird because I'm like way better at it now than I was. But then, I mean, I guess it makes sense because I just didn't know anything. I'm like, this isn't hard.
You're just diving in with ignorance, but that you need that bold confidence to get you through the tough early times too.
Yeah, it's so funny how like early on how I thought I was so good, like a year and a half in. Oh God, I'm so good.
Yeah,
it's like
I interviewed my brother Ben, who's also a comic in the pod, and he said that the first time he did stand up in an open mic, he assumed he was pretty confident that his material was so good that he was going to get a standing ovation.
The first time he did it?
Yeah.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's like, this is going to get a standing ovation.
I definitely didn't have that confidence. A standing... And I'm... And I just at an open like, mic?
It's
like, that's ever
response.
Happened ever?
What?
At an open mic with a bunch of comics?
Yeah.
Like, that's ever happened
like,
ever?
Like, literally no shot of that in a mic.
Like, comedians have ever supported another comedian to that extent? Like, in an open mic, you're basically making comedians laugh by accident, like, against their will.
Yeah, because they're not even, they're looking at their phone. They're not even
They just
attention.
Don't want to laugh. And then, like, so if you make them laugh, it's like, it was something that, like, was so funny that they're just like, whoa! Like, they didn't, it's like you brought it out of them without them knowing or something.
Did you ever find open mics to be productive or useful for you?
I think I got kind of lucky early on. Like, I found open mics early on that were, like, pretty productive. There were a lot of people there and they were kind of supportive in LA and then in New York.
Yeah, there can be good supportive mics.
Yeah, yeah. There were some good ones, and I found them in LA. I found about three that I kind of, I mean, I was young and like we were all kind of starting out, so we were all kind of supportive, but there were like good comedians there. And then here, when I moved back here in like 2002, I found a couple, and like, you know, there would be great people there. Like, you know, I used to go to this open mic. Nick Kroll was always there, and
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I would always, you know, I was like, me and him were kind of starting in New York at the same time. So it was like me, him, and a couple other guys would always go to these different open mics in this neighborhood, actually.
Oh, Lower
right
East
down
Side?
The street. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This place called the Train Wreck. And it was good. It was like there were a lot of people there. I mean, it wasn't always good, but there were a lot of people there. And like Dimitri would go there. And I remember I saw Ed
Helms
Dimitri
Martin?
There. Yeah. Who else? Like good people were there.
Did you watch his special Inside? Oh, no, that's Bo Burnham. Never mind. Wrong person.
Oh, yeah. I get them mixed up, too.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Is there nothing? No, I mean...
Well, don't they both play the piano? Really, oh, no, Demetri Martin just draws.
Yeah. I don't really watch comedy specials anymore. I do a little bit. I just think I'm like, I don't know, tired. Like, it's hard for me to sit down and watch a comedy special.
Really?
There's just so much, and I'm just kind of like... I'll watch old comedy specials that I like already.
Yeah, I've been watching that Richard Pryor live in concert. I forget what it's called, but like, just like if I'm like, you know, brushing my teeth, getting ready for bed, like having it on in the background, I feel like it's kind of good to have a little osmosis going on.
Yeah. What was I just thinking about Richard Pryor? I can't remember. I don't know. Yeah, like there's an old David Spade special I like. I watch over and over. There's like Norm Macdonald, I watch old stuff of. I watch a lot of interviews with him because he's really funny in interviews. Louis C.K., I watch old stuff. Nick Swartzen was like one of my favorites. Do you like him?
Yes, I love Nick Swartzen.
He's kind of one of my... He was one of my favorites early on, and then now I've kind of gotten back into him.
He's so authentic. He just seems like he's being exactly who he would be if you were having a beer with him at a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
He's so like likable. And
he's really funny. I think I almost feel like... I mean, he's not underrated because he's really successful, but... I don't think he's ever really in the... people are always like, oh, Bill Burr. And I mean, I like Bill Burr, but I'd rather watch Nick Swartzen than Bill Burr. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Burr's good. I mean, he's great. I just... I'm not like...
You're not as... I'm not as fun for you to watch?
No, he's great. I don't know what... I'm not like... He doesn't like... Nick Swartzen just seems inherently funny to me. I kind of like how Nick Swartzen seems like he's barely trying.
Yeah.
I like the comedians that look like they're barely trying. Like, that's almost part of their shtick. Bill Burr, like, is definitely not barely trying. Like, I like David Spade, I was like, because he almost, like, jokes about how he's, like, almost phoning it in. I saw an interview with him a while ago, and he said that he was hosting SNL, and they were like, oh, how's it going? He's like, it was, like, on Conan. He's like... You know me, buddy. I bring 70% every time. You know, and I just thought that was so funny, like, because he always kind of, that's almost his persona, is like, he's barely trying. And I mean, I feel like that's kind of my persona, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're all, like, if a joke doesn't hit exactly the way you want it, you'll be like, cool.
But it's
maybe I should just not even be here. This is whack.
But it's almost like, yeah, I kind of like the not trying part of it. I think that's a very, you're Gen X, right?
Yes.
I think that's a Gen X-y thing.
Yeah, we're like, we don't care. We're like Daria.
Yeah, like we're over everything. Yeah. We just don't give a shit.
We're latchkey kids, man. Leave us alone.
I've read about this too, and I think it's because we were very like discarded as a generation. So I think it's our defense mechanism of like, I don't really give a shit what anyone, like, you know. Like Nirvana was like a Gen X band, you know, and... The name of their album is Nevermind. It's almost like, who gives a shit? You know, like, fuck, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah.
I never thought about that connection. That's
Slackers, aloof, don't care about it. But I do think it's because we were kind of discarded and not, we were almost like the ignored children in a family. So you usually will develop a defense mechanism of like, well, I don't really even care if you like me.
Yeah, it's like a scab, right? Like a wound that's been scabbed over. Like, leave me alone, man.
It's like, you can't hurt me because I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to hurt me because I don't give a shit what you... It's like exactly what I was saying about dating. Basically, my whole persona I've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're kind of aloof in your act and aloof in your dating life, right?
Yeah, but I think Gen X is kind of like... I mean, maybe not all of them, but there's... Look at the Gen X heroes. Like Bill Murray is like a Gen X icon, and he was the pinnacle of not caring, being detached.
Yeah.
In every situation, no one's going to hurt Bill Murray ever. In any situation when someone's yelling at me, he's just like, cool, whatever, I don't give a shit. He'll just have like a funny comment and leave.
Right.
He's never going to show he's been affected by anything.
You know what that reminds me of is that more recent movie where he has a tough relationship with his daughter, and then she calls him out on it, and he does finally... It was like, it was like one of the first times in a Bill Murray movie where I've seen him be the one that's like vulnerable and
was it the Rashida Jones one?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It wasn't as good as like, you know, like
Sophia
Broken Flowers
Coppola.
Or... Yeah, but it was okay. Like he really like showed a like a I'm kind of shitty and it's indefensible and I'm vulnerable and I kind of suck. Like it was kind of a new leaf of his.
Yeah, you know? Which makes sense. I mean, you should, if you get older, start showing maybe a little, like you care a little bit. But I mean, I know people of my generation, like he was like everyone's idol, you know, he was definitely my idol by like the age of 10. Like he was my guy.
I can see some overlaps between Bill Murray's kind of persona and your stage persona.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think I consciously was like, I'm going to be like Bill Murray, but I definitely young was like, oh, this is who I want to be like, is like that guy. Because why not? He was like the funniest guy and nothing got to him. And, you know, he never... I don't know. I'm really fascinated by his screen persona, like young, because, you know, he's so great. But I watch him and I'm like, why? What is he doing that's so great? I talked to Mark Norman about this once because he was like, oh, I love him, too. And I was like, well, why? Like, what's he doing? He's like, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. And I was like, I've like tried to study it, you know?
Yeah. It's like it's almost like it's a sincerity that transcends his character. And just makes him, you've dropped that empty glass three times, that just like transcends his character. Yeah. And is like, it just seems to be beyond an actor in a movie. It just seems to be a person being who they actually are, which is more sincere than a typical, like, I'm a movie character.
Yeah, he looks, you know? Like he's just kind of like, he just kind of wound up in a movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's almost like he doesn't care that he's being filmed.
Like, he doesn't care he's in a movie. He's just kind of, like, almost not even taking the movie seriously.
Oh, 100%. You seen Broken Flowers?
No, I haven't. I'm not a huge fan of his later stuff, because it's more, like, serious. Like, is it good? I mean...
Yeah, it is more serious, and it's very subtle. But there's one scene when he's just,
I should
like,
watch it, though.
You should watch it. It's literally, like, maybe, like, two... Maybe I'm exaggerating. I think it might be like 2 minutes of him just like sitting in this kind of like, it's like dusk in a living room and the lights aren't on and he's just kind of staring. But it's kind of riveting too. In my head, I'm like, this should be boring, right? This should be really boring. But it's not. It's not boring. It's kind
of
fascinating.
Yeah, he's the king of like,
what's going on?
Doing
what's he thinking about? Yeah.
But somehow it's like compelling.
Yeah. It's like this sense of pathos, this human pathos that he's conveying through sitting there.
Yeah, he's able to convey a lot just with his face. His facial expressions are very... and I don't know. Like, I think that's what I liked about the whole... And I mean, not just me. He resonated with like a lot of people that he seemed kind of... He just seemed to never be taking anything seriously. Like, not that he was like a fuck-up or something, but more like he didn't take life too seriously. He knew he was in a movie and he was like, whatever, I'm in a movie. This isn't like the be-all and end-all of anything. I'm just kind of fucking around. But he just, you know, but you have to be, the things he did in movies, like you can't just wing, you know, like he, it's funny because his name in Stripes is Winger. You know, I was thinking about how he just kind of looks like he's winging it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was on purpose. But yeah, I mean, he obviously was like prepared and I don't know. He's just a natural talent, you know, that just kind of, you know, just like annoying to watch because later on, because you're like, oh, that guy's just amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you be so natural and yet also amazing? It's like, well, you're not even trying. You should have to work harder to be amazing.
Right. I think that's why I liked all those people who like seem like they're not trying because they're like, wow, they're so great and they're not even trying. And I think that's what I always wanted to be like. Like, this guy's so great. He's not even trying. He doesn't even try.
Yeah. Isn't the best form of greatness effortlessness?
Yeah, totally. Like, this guy's like asleep.
But then that contrasts or conflicts with the idea of like 10,000 hours and like you got to like... You know, art is a vast democracy of habit.
I think what it is, I think a lot of the people,
what?
Yeah, but I think that's where the conundrum is that you almost have to work harder at coming off that way. Like, he clearly was putting in work and doing what he was doing, like, taking it seriously, but it would, like, Louis C.K. is a good example. He sounds like he's just kind of making it up. But he's not make. He's worked on it a lot to make it sound that way,
right?
So the it's the paradox is that him sounding like it's off the cuff and he's just coming up with it, he's actually had to work harder than someone who doesn't sound that way to sound that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he knows exactly what he's saying when he's pretending like he just thought. And I know, I mean, I'm sure every comedian has had it, but like, I have jokes like that where I'm like, it sounds like I'm just coming up with something, but it's rehearsed because I've done it 100 times. Where I'm like, oh, and this, oh yeah, what about this? You know, and it's like,
I've noticed that more recently. I can like start off a joke, but it sounds like I'm just actually being like, dude, you know what's kind of crazy? It's like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, but in the past, I'd be like, the man went to the store. Like, not that.
Yeah,
stiff,
yeah.
But, you know, there's like a,
that
a,
is a good bit,
growth
though,
trajectory to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one joke I specifically did it with where it was about, I had a joke about there was this guy who his girlfriend cut off his penis. This was like 10 years ago, this joke, maybe even longer. And I was like, yeah, I just read this thing about this girl. She cut off her boyfriend's penis. And I was like, not the guy. And I'm like, not the guy from like 30 years ago, not Bobbitt. Because remember Bobbitt?
Yes.
I'm like, not that guy, like another guy. I'm not trying to pretend like I just wrote a joke about that guy. And then I'm like, and then I go like, but imagine if, I mean, imagine if it was the same guy. Like, wouldn't that be funny? Like, like the guy would be like, that's it. It's totally over this time. But that kind of, when I go, but imagine if it was the same guy, that almost sounded like I was coming up with it right there. Because I'm like, no, not that guy. But imagine if it was the same guy. Because that's, it's almost like a tangent to the joke. Because then later I go into the rest of the joke. But that did happen off the cuff once, and then I kept doing it, and then it sounded like it was off the cuff.
Oh, right. It sounded like it was off the cuff every other time, because yeah. It was the first.
But it was totally, I knew exactly every word.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool. That's a beautiful way to do it. And
yeah.
It just naturally developed like that.
Right.
That's the beauty of like more and more stage time. The more time you're up there, the more chances that something fortuitous or serendipitous like that will occur.
Right, and then you can kind of just add it in as, like, part of the joke.
Yeah. Wait, can we take a pause? I gotta pee.
Yeah, we can stop. I mean,
oh, my God. And we're back. All right, I've compiled a few questions to ask Tom about himself or just about life, and we will now begin the question and answer phase of this podcast. What?
Okay.
All right. Okay,
this sounds
Tom.
Dubious.
Would you describe yourself as a selfless lover?
Wow, that's not the question I was expecting. I think now older I am. I wasn't.
You're selfless? You just don't care about yourself? You're just all about the girl?
You know me. It's pretty clear that I'm all about other people.
You're a selfish lover, bro. Let's not kid ourselves.
No, wait. Why do you say that? I'm like, I don't know that I'm selfless.
Yeah, how would you be selfless anyways? You're just not even hard.
I wouldn't
you're
even have
like,
sex.
Well.
What's the point of sex? Like, you know what? I'm not even interested in me. Just... I'll put my dick away.
I'm just going to be flaccid nearby you because it's not about me.
One thing that's happened as I've gotten older is like a lot of times I'm definitely more into getting them off.
Yeah, I like it too.
And
dude, I'll go
times,
down on a chick for a half hour. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
I do.
I definitely like to. That's almost it for a selfish reason. Like it's like I almost want to. Get them off as like
I can show you pleasure. I'm Casanova like that.
Or like I don't know. Like I'm just kinda I don't know why. I don't know. I definitely am more into it older. And I was younger. It was almost like I thought I was like cool to like be selfish, like yeah, whatever, like being kind of a jerk, I guess.
Yeah, like that was.
But I'm not like that now. I really am not. I'm a lot better, older.
That's good. Besides saying that you like to bang girls instead of like have sex.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. All right, what's your favorite book?
My favorite book, Sea Spot Run. let's see. The Da Vinci Code? I'm just kidding. It's like the worst. But your face was
some
like cornball.
The Firm.
The Firm. Grisham. Remember when those were thought of as like great books? Like, oh, have you read The Da Vinci Code? It's so great. I remember I got in a conversation with some people and there was like, yeah, please don't say this to
are
people.
Are those bad books?
I don't think they're considered like great literature, you know. I think they're just kind of right. Like,
it's like a page turner.
You know what I'm reading? This isn't my favorite book. You know what I'm reading right now that's like really good is Tarantino did a novelization of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I heard about that.
It's really good.
Yeah?
Because I really like that story and it just really expands the story like a lot to it, and it's very interesting. Like the I mean it's what's really funny is that he wrote it after the movie, but it's better than the movie.
Really?
Well, it's just, you know this is a thing that's happening, another older thing is I'm like I enjoy reading a lot more now than like movies and TV because, and I finally get it, because movies and TV are, can, first of all, movies are just bad now. I mean, like, I've, movies are just shit now.
I don't get excited about them.
They're just not, it's not the same. I watched two movies that like came out streaming that are supposed to be like these great new movies. One of them was like Soderbergh directed and like Benicio del Toro. You know, it's
that one? I want to watch that.
It's fucking awful.
Really?
I think it's called No Sudden Move. I didn't even understand it. It's so fucking bad.
Fuck.
It's mind blowing how bad it is.
And I really wanted to watch
that. And I was like, this is like one of the best directors of our time, the most premier actors right now, and this is the movie that they came out with. It's like a heist movie that there's a twist every 10 minutes, because it's kind of like, hey, you know that thing, this is happening? Oh, this is happening. You're like, great. All right. Oh, now this guy's bad. Oh, now this guy's, you know, it's like, and you know, by the end, you're like, I don't even care what's going on.
Mm.
And then I saw a movie, the Lana Glazer. You know her?
Is that the abortion one or the mom one?
False what positive?
Is it? Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I don't want to watch that. Is it about abortion?
No, it's about it's trying to pretend like it's like an updated Rosemary's Baby, which is such a ballsy thing to do.
Because that was such a classic.
That's such a great movie. And then when your movie, this movie is like the level of like a Lifetime movie. It's so bad. And I was like, why would you ever put yourself in the category of Rosemary's Baby if you had made a movie this fucking bad? It's my, I was, not only is it bad, I was blown away by how bad it was.
Jesus.
I was watching it with my girlfriend. We figured out the twist like an hour in. Like we were like, maybe it's this. And then it was like, oh, that's what it is.
Nailed it first time.
So anyway, I'm just saying I like reading a lot more now because movies are so bad and TV. And now I understand when you read, you get to have your own world of it, you know?
Yep. Wait, did you tell me what your actual favorite book is?
I think my favorite, I mean, like In Cold Blood is one of my favorite books.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that, have you read that?
No, I watched the movie though. Isn't that, that's going to be a really dark movie, right? I mean, a book.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's like so well written and like, it's really compelling. I mean, the subject matter, and I mean, it's a, you know, it's considered one of the greatest books of all time.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Should read it. I don't want to read it like a sad book about murder.
But it's not just about that.
Okay. Didn't you just pick a random murder article out of a newspaper or something?
I don't know how you've picked it up, but it's a true story.
I'm glad you told me that. Maybe I will read it.
But I think it's like he wrote it and then like, it was such a phenomenon that it almost, he got almost caught up in the aftermath of it. Like it was almost like he couldn't. And I was, you know, I think that happens. Like, you know, Harper Lee is, she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
I guess she was
stupid.
Yeah. And cause she like wrote that and it was such a huge book and she like never wrote anything for years. And I think it's because it was like such a big book. She was terrified to follow it. So, and also there's rumors that Capote like wrote it for her.
What?
They were childhood friends.
That he wrote To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah. There's like, that's a rumor.
That's a fucking crazy
because
scandal.
It's like she never wrote anything else.
Wow.
But I mean,
is there any truth to that rumor? Like,
I have no idea. Yeah. Or maybe that he helped her. I don't know.
Wow. I hadn't heard that.
That's
why I like talking on podcasts because I feel like I learn shit.
Yeah,
other people have knowledge that I don't have, and then I talk to them, and then I have their knowledge because they tell me their knowledge.
Right.
I know it sounds simple, but it's really true. Oftentimes, I'll think back on the pod I've done for the week or a pod I did a month ago, and I'll be like, "Oh yeah, that person taught me that thing, and now I know that thing."
I really like The Great Gatsby too.
Yeah. Yeah, The Great Gatsby's great.
I like that, and Lord of the Flies. I read really young. I like that a lot.
I read that young too. Yeah. You like Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah, that's like a hack one to go. Yeah, you know,
I mean, but it's so good.
I really like Catcher in the Rye. Yeah,
the style. Obviously. It's like that natural style almost we were just talking about earlier.
It is, and it's very deceptive because it seems like a very simple book, but it's like not. And I like Bukowski a lot. I've been reading a lot of Bukowski the last like 5 years.
What's his most famous book?
Ham on Rye. He did a lot of poetry. Ham on Rye is kind of his Catcher in the Rye. I think it's almost making fun of Catcher in the Rye, like the title even. He wrote Post Office, Hollywood.
Should I read one of those?
Yeah, he has a very specific style. It's very raw and very blunt. You know what I was reading a lot is a lot of Bret Easton Ellis. I've been reading a lot of his, like Lesson Zero, and that I just read that recently. I think that's a good book.
Bret Easton Ellis?
Yeah, he wrote like American Psycho.
Okay.
I liked his style. Like, he has a very like simple. You know, I never really liked Hemingway. You know, people love Hemingway.
I really like Hemingway.
I just think it's like he's kind of boring, I think.
Yeah.
I like The Old Man and the Sea. But yeah, you asked for one, In Cold Blood.
I like the Spartan style. The Spartan. I just feel like it's beautiful.
No, he is a really good writer. It's very superfluous, you know.
Or is it, though?
I guess some people say that he's kind of, it's simple. It's like short sentences, but I feel like he just describes every single thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be like, and then I put my hand around the glass and I lifted it. And then I brought it towards my face, and then I opened my and I'm like, all right, dude, just
you had
you
some
drank
water,
something.
Bro. Yeah, you drank something. have you recently reached the heights of ecstasy? I can't even read it. It's so stupid. Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
At first, I thought it was gonna be funny. Then I thought it was gonna be stupid. And then thinking of it being stupid made me laugh.
Have I recently reached the heights of ecstasy?
Yeah. The Heights.
Yeah, I just watched In the Heights, and that was pretty much the heights of ecstasy.
That wasn't good at all. My thing was better.
What was better? Your movie?
Just the concept of reaching the heights of ecstasy just sounds kind of like an insane thing for a guy to ask a guy friend.
I would say probably not. But maybe. I don't know. I've had some good times.
If money was no object, what would you buy?
If money was no object, what would I buy? A beach house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just that?
Is there more that I should buy?
I think I would buy a nice island, and I would buy a sick car and like a fucking private jet.
I'd buy like a sick car, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably buy a sick car first. Well, that's what I meant by a beach house. Yeah, like a mansion. But I mean, the thing is like, I don't need like, you know, the older I get, it's like, I don't need a mansion. Like, I just need like a nice house. And then
right.
Why do I need like this huge.
You don't need like wings.
Right. I don't, you know, like on the beach, that would be nice, or near the beach. I'm not like, you know, everyone gets caught up in like, it has to, you know, oh, I have to have this, everything the biggest. And it's like, but I don't know, like, what, you know, do I really want like. I think like a huge house would be annoying, right?
Well, you would have the money to have a staff to clean it and care for it. All you would have to do is just enjoy the house.
I don't think I'd want a staff.
You'd just be sleeping in your room.
I don't
room
think
the whole
I'd
time.
Like want people in my house like living there who like hate me. That's why I never understood slavery.
Oh, right. What?
Like I never understood slavery where they'd have these people like living there that like didn't want to be there and were always like crying. And it's like, really? Why do you want crying people in your house?
What's that Korean movie that won Best
Wouldn't
Picture?
You just rather do your own laundry? No, I have to have these people that hate me and want to murder me all the time.
Yeah, they got to look through my clothes every day. That seems weird.
But I mean, all they want to do is kill you all day.
Parasite, like Parasite, the movie.
You mean how they like wanted to kill them?
Yeah, just like you just ignore the staff and they're less than you. And then it's like in Chinatown, too. It was kind of that way. I recently watched Chinatown. Aren't you proud of me?
I never saw that.
Okay. There's like some class distinctions.
Oh, really? I think in Parasite, though, it's like that was part of it. It's like they almost weren't aware that everyone hated them, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was like,
they're wrapped up in
their role. They're just like, they work for us and we're paying them and they like and we're really nice to them. But they didn't know that they really hated them, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Slavery, they knew that they hated them.
That was pretty clear.
Like, I was like, I saw like 12 Years a Slave, and there's a scene where he buys like five slaves. It's like it's like a family, and they're just crying as he's driving them away. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you want this crying family in your car?
Yeah.
He's like, let's go. You know, they're like, do you want that in your house? Just people screaming?
Dude, it's horrifying. I saw this 60 Minutes once, and this image will haunt me for the rest of my life. It's like this black and white image, but it's pretty clear. It looks like a not that old of a picture, honestly. It's like this guy, this white guy, has boots on, and he's got his legs crossed on the shoulders of a black man who's a slave, and you can just see in the slave's eyes the look of despair, and then you can see in the white guy's eyes the look of like ultimate like domination.
Where did you see this?
It was just a picture that they flashed up in 60 Minutes for a story. And it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah,
this
I
made
know.
It so real, like, so real, yeah, instead yeah. of just being like, oh, slavery's bad and it's in the past. It made it seem real because I could see the look on that guy's face.
Right.
You know?
Just imagine like living during that time and just being like, yeah, I guess this is how it is.
Oh, dude.
Like, when you'd be like, what are you doing? I mean, hopefully I would have been like, I definitely, if I had lived in that time, but have been like, what is this shit? Like, this isn't like, why is this a thing that everyone like is okay with? I mean, we're kind of going through it now in a smaller scale, but so much shit's going on that people are just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, really? This is okay with you? Like, just what's happening?
Right. I didn't mean to get off on that.
But yeah, go ahead.
Topic.
Yeah, that was a good.
I always feel like if it's two white dudes in a podcast, that's the last thing
talking
we should talk
about.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, the last thing is just, I was going to ask you if you heard about the thing where they started this Kickstarter campaign for Jeff Bezos to eat the Mona Lisa. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard about that. What? Who started it?
These like people went to Applebee's and they were drinking off the dollar drink menu, and they just came up with it because they thought it'd be stupid, and they did a Kickstarter just to be stupid.
And how much has it raised?
At the time of the article that I read, it had raised like $12,000. But then the best part is that the Louvre had to put out a statement saying that they were not going to address it. That's my favorite thing, dude. Just the Louvre PR. I'm sure that whoever is doing PR for the Louvre is probably not the most chill person on the planet.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And they have to be like, we're not even going to address this.
Yeah, yeah, we're not. But they did address it.
But they addressed it.
But they kind of had to say, we're not going to let that happen.
They didn't even say that. They just said, we're not going to address this.
To get Bezos to eat the Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
I know, right?
I haven't heard about that. When did that?
It's kind of interesting social construct to think about for a minute. It's like a thought experiment. Probably about a month ago.
I don't know, though. I feel like we're not far away from that kind of shit happening. Now this NFT shit, like, it's just like, not that that's the same thing, but I mean, there's just so many things going on. Like, what is this?
Right.
NFTs? I mean, what?
You can take an SNL sketch, the video of it, and then make that a product to be sold.
But there was something I saw on some news show. I think it was like, yeah, some news show where some guy did some like art and he sold it as an NFT for like $40 million. And then someone bought something that Leonardo da Vinci had painted for like $3 million. And it was like, this guy who just made this thing on the internet is out selling Da Vinci. You know what I mean? It's just like, what is this?
Yeah. Some fake art outselling real art. Although
I don't know, I guess
art?
I don't know. It just seemed very.
The NFT is a new clever concept, whereas a painting has been around for the.
And I don't understand. I kind of understand NFT, but I don't understand what the fuck it really is. You know.
Yeah.
They own the image. That's just.
It's like a.
It's non-fungible.
It's precious because it's unique, right? You can't change it. It's like, if I took a picture of this Yeti, and put that on the computer. I could send cells.
And it's not like a thing that you have in your house, like hanging.
That's a good question. Are there physical NFTs? I don't think there are physical NFTs.
I think it just exists kind of on the internet, or I don't know. I don't even. That's why I don't understand it. I don't know. It's just one of those like, shit's getting weird.
Yeah, let's just go back to like watching Smells Like Teen Spirit. Did you know that Smells Like Teen Spirit was something that some famous person wrote on a wall somewhere? And Kurt Cobain read it and liked the phrase, but didn't know that Teen Spirit referred to a deodorant when he wrote the song. What do you think about
no,
that?
No, I didn't know that. But that's interesting. I always wondered that. But if it was in reference to Teen Spirit, that scent, that deodorant. Because I remember that being a scent.
Yeah. The person that wrote it thought it, but he didn't know it.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting.
I know, right? Dude, I love that video. Whenever I get like high on the weekends, I always end up putting Smells Like Teen Spirit on.
Yeah. I mean, it's also good because they never say it in the song.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's always kind of a power move. Like,
they never say the title of the song. Yeah. It Smells Like Teen
Spirit.
That's
a very, like, it's almost like indicative of like a good band. Like, we're not even going to, because you can almost tell it's really funny when like the name of the song is like the first thing they say in the song.
Yeah. This is the name of the song.
Yeah, like.
And we said it first, so now you know.
You know, it's like now the song proven. Is like, let's go, and then we start, let's go, go, let's go. You're like, oh, you're starting with it?
Let's go.
Like, it sounds like they just wrote it in like 5 seconds. They just like had to write it in like a minute.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. Let's go, let's go, let's go, yeah.
Just start with the title, dude. It's easier.
Yeah, but.
Well,
Okay.
Should we wrap it right at
let's
one?
Wrap
fucking,
it.
Who cares what time it is, Danny? No one fucking cares. Thanks for listening to the fucking pods. You
thanks
fucking Johns.
Thanks for listening to the pods.
Who's going to say the last thing? Me or you? Oh, it's a power struggle. No one gives a fuck. Later, Jude.